Seeking the Lord's blessing, we'll turn again to that portion of the word that we read in the book of Hebrews, Paul's letter to the Hebrews, and chapter 9. And there we find the words of our text, the end of the chapter, verse 27. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. A familiar text, is it not? Appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. It's written recently of in this time of a well-known multimillionaire who enjoyed everything that you can imagine in this life and did all to enjoy it himself personally and for those around him. And all the excesses you could imagine he was involved with and in. And similarly, this man, with all that he had on his deathbed, the day came for him when it was a deathbed for him, as it will for all. On his deathbed, he said, I have provided in my life for everything except this day. And now he said, here I am dying, and I can do nothing about it with all my wealth. And not only that, oh, he said, I'm so unprepared. And you know, friends, there are many like that. Not necessarily those who are rich and well off in this world, but so many, on the day of their death comes, and they are so unprepared. I wonder how many in this gathering tonight, and that would be true of you. As I said, this text, I'm sure, is well known to us all. You may not know where it was. You might not know where to find it in the Bible. But I'm sure there's no one here who hasn't heard it before. Appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. And we see that around us, of course, certainly. The first part of the text is clear to all. It is appointed unto men once to die. Everyone dies. All of us here will have seen loved ones die, friends die, enemies die. We've seen poor people. We've seen rich people. We've seen people who are old and we've seen young. And death comes to all. And it is, friends, a warning for us all. Whatever we think, whoever we are tonight, whatever the state of our health, whether it be good, bad, or in between, it is appointed. Now here in this chapter, this contrast is brought between the sacrifice of the Old Testament and the one once offered by Christ. And he gave his life to deal with the consequences of sin. That's the reason he came, and that's the reason he died. And he came, friends, and he is coming again. And he is coming to judge the world. And he will come to judge the world knowing who has believed in him and who has not. On that day, there will be, on the day of judgment, there will be a measure of acknowledging him, where everyone in one sense will believe in him that day, in the sense they cannot deny it. And every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that day. But oh, dear friends, without question, without doubt, There'll be many who'll be doing so terrified and trembling. He knows his own. He knows who has believed in him. And he knows who will not have done so. And what a day then that will be for us. Wonder, are you concerned about that tonight? How much thought have you given to it? And even those of us today who sat at the Lord's table at the privilege of doing so, we also must prepare for this great day. And sitting at the table will not ensure we will be in heaven. There's no guarantee for us. But we must be right with God through Christ. And when he comes again to judge the world, that's the question for us then. Are we prepared for that judgment? You know that for yourself tonight. You might not like to think about it. You might want to put it off. And maybe fleetingly through your mind occasionally when somebody dies, there's a so-called accident or whatever. Or maybe you're unwell. But you need friends to have more than that. You need to look and prepare. Well, I would like us this evening to consider these words. Thinking in this way, it is an inevitable appointment. It is an unavoidable judgment. And it is a predictable end. An inevitable appointment, an unavoidable judgment, and a predictable end. Well, the first point then we look at, an inevitable appointment. It is appointed unto men. And who has appointed it? It is God himself. God has appointed the day of our birth and the day of our death. He has appointed all things. Now, Christ, as well as all men, he had an appointment with death. When he came into this world, he came for a particular purpose. And while sin was the reason for his giving of himself to death, he, of course, did so willingly. Death didn't take Christ. He gave himself to death. And he did so willingly. Why? To take the penalty of all our sins. Who are these? For those who believe in, not for everyone, but over all who put their faith and trust in him. And so he came and he died in the fullness of time at the appointed moment. And while at the hands of the Romans and others, that this was the time that they saw fit and the Jewish rulers fit him to death, it was God's appointed time. That was inevitable as well, had to be. And he gave himself. And that death was a death that he had to die for his people. But he did so willingly, he gave himself. But our death, friends, though appointed by God also, what is it? It's a direct consequence of our own sins. It is because we have sinned. The wages of sin, you know very well, another well-known text. The wages of sin is death. That's the wages. But it is appointed by God. It's a direct consequence of what we are, sinners by nature. However, there is the greatest contrast to those dying without faith in Christ and those dying with faith. All the difference in the world. And we think ourselves of those who have taken, even in recent days, have known to ourselves who we believe have gone to be with the Lord. But not all. Let's not fool ourselves. Let's not imagine that all who died, oh, they were such nice people. And many are so. And indeed, many who are like that, without Christ, and they're an example in many ways to us. But without Christ, nevertheless, however good they may have seemed, they died without Christ. What a fearful end for them. And so there are those who are die in Christ and those who die out of Christ. It is an appointed time for each and every one. But the question is, friends, which one are you? What camp are you in tonight? Who would you be found amongst? You younger people, children, middle age and older. When it comes to you, what then? What about this appointment, this inevitable appointment? And you know, friends, make no mistake about it, that without faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you know what that means? It means hell. It means a lost eternity. It means away from the face of God. It means away from mercy. It is the judgment of God. Well, some say, death is just, well, it's just natural, really. It's just a natural thing. Friends, no, death is not natural. Death is in the world because of sin. And we don't die because we've reached a certain age. We don't die because a certain illness has come over us. We don't die because of so-called accidents. That may be the means, but the day has already been appointed. So never think, friends, that these things are out of God's hand. He has appointed the day for each and every one of us. Every single one, it is already, as it were, noted in heaven, the day you are going to die, and the day I'm going to die, and the day everyone is going to die. It is already appointed. You know, sometimes also we speak about, well, natural and its nature. But you see, we can speak about nature only as we see it as a tool of our Creator. Nature of itself, friends, does not have any power of life or death. Whatever people say and think about these things, that is not how it is at all. No power or anything else with nature. It is all in God's hand. And so, friend, if God has appointed this inevitable day of your death, and he has, make no mistake about it. Again, I ask you, are you prepared? Are you ready? Have you done all that you know you need to do? Or are you going on drifting from day to day, month to month, week to week, year to year, whatever? And just hoping that it'll all work out in the end. Friends, this is the great question for us all. It's a question that every single one of us should ask ourselves, and every one of us, I include myself in this. Am I ready for this? Am I ready for this appointment that is inevitable, that will come to me one day? Are you yourselves then, are you ready for it? You see, there's nothing, absolutely nothing more solemn than this for us to consider. It may not be, as I said earlier, may not be tonight. It may not be tomorrow. It may not be next week or even next year, but it is going to happen. It is inevitable. So what foolishness to not think about these things and to imagine that really we have plenty of time. We can leave it for another day. We can leave it for another month. I've got other things to do. I've got work to do. I've got family to deal with. I've got to get on here. I've got holidays to go to. I've got to see this person and that person when you're not promised another moment. Ah, friends, so we need to be ready then. You don't know when, but he knows. It is already appointed. I think if we can just grasp that in some way, I know it's not sometimes to get our heads around this, but if you can think of it, if I can say that there is a book there written, as it were, and the name, your name is there, and the date of your birth and the date of your death. How that will come about is not the issue, but the issue is it is there. It is there for you. And it will be inevitable. Maybe you're saying, well, I'll just have to wait and see. You're thinking, well, I'm not too worried about that. If it happens, it happens. So it will happen, friend. It will happen. Make no mistake about that. Whatever you think, it will happen. If you're worried, you should be worried. If you are out of Christ. If you are here tonight without faith in Christ, therefore Christless, and therefore what? Hopeless. You cannot have hope of any kind for the world to come if you are out of Christ. This is, friend, inevitable. You have to face up to. Oh, you may be someone who maybe has had in the past, as they say, near-death situation, scrapes with death. Some of us can follow that. Maybe you're here tonight and you can think of that yourself, times when it was just a miracle, you say, that I wasn't killed. It's a miracle that I recovered from the way that I was. And you escaped, as it were, by the skin of your teeth. Or maybe you think, well, it was just, and it was just luck. Oh, friend, there's no such thing. You may call it luck, but there's no such thing. All things are appointed of God. But here is an appointment, and there is no escape from it. There's no near miss for it or to it in any way whatsoever. It is an inevitable appointment. You know, read elsewhere in Scripture, as the tree falls, so shall it lie. You know the picture? Tree falls down, it'll never get up itself again. And so it is, man, when death finds you, however your good intentions, that's the way it's going to be. And it will find you, and you will fall, and you will be hopeless then. And there'll be no second chance. And there's no return to the land of the living to put right to your relationship with God. It'll be too late then for us. And that final parting from the world, when there's going to be the parting of your spirit, your soul, and your body. And your body probably lying in the grave, and your spirit in the hand of God who gave it. And everything and everyone you loved and had and all your possessions left behind. Oh, friends, you need to realize that this is an appointment we need to prepare for. To realize that we have, as it were, the worm of death implanted in each of us by our Creator, and is therefore inevitable, as it were, that it is sucking the life out of us in God's appointed time. And that day is nearer, getting nearer and nearer and nearer. We've been in here maybe 3/4 of an hour or so. That's 3/4 of an hour, of course, nearer our end. And before we leave here, be another 15, 20 minutes nearer our end. And so it goes on. Dear friends, are you ready? Have you made this preparation for this inevitable day? It is an inevitable appointment. But it's also, secondly, an unavoidable judgment also. There's going to be an unavoidable judgment. You know, we know, and maybe you're here tonight and you're saying, well, death is the end. There's nothing after death. Or maybe you're hoping there's nothing after death. You're just going to die like your dog or your cat or whatever. But you see, Scripture makes very clear to us. And yes, I believe, however much you think, that even your own conscience will tell you and convict you and bring you to realize, whatever I know, I don't believe that when I die that that's the end. It cannot be, friends, it is not. After this, the judgment, an unavoidable judgment. And it is a judgment seat where there will be no hope of an appeal, a judgment seat where there'll be no second chances. A judgment seat where there will be no mistaken verdicts. What's going to happen there, friend, before the judgment seat of God? He will pronounce that sentence. And that sentence is final. And the inevitable consequences will follow. What are the inevitable consequences? Well, you know it. Scripture tells us you'll be cast headlong into that, what it calls the lake of fire and brimstone. Oh, so many will say on that day, oh, but that's not very fair. I had intended so many things. I had hoped to sort things out. I was sure that I would have time to do things. My friends, how true the saying that the road to hell is paved with good intentions. I am quite sure there's not a soul here tonight who intends deliberately to go to hell. Of course there's not. You intend somehow or other to get to heaven, to be there at the end of the day. This is what you would like. Of course it is. But then you're living as if heaven is of no great consequence. And indeed that hell is of no great consequence. Oh, you'll be taken by surprise that day, so many. Remember the Lord Jesus' parable about the day of judgment. It brings out the surprise of the lost. Remember the Lord saying, you didn't do this and you did that. They say, when saw we the unhungered? When saw we the thirsty or in prison and so on? They were shocked and surprised that this had come upon them at that time. An unexpected thing, and that's how it'll be. And what an unexpected horror. Maybe for some in this congregation tonight, it's going to be for you on that great day that is inevitably going to come. This unavoidable judgment as you stand before the holy throne of God. And what will happen on that day? Oh, all deception will be torn away. You might have fooled your neighbors, might have fooled your family, you might have fooled the people in this congregation and elsewhere, but there'll be no fooling anyone on that day. And so, friend, the consequence of living and dying without Christ will on that day be before you, and you'll hear these words, "Depart from me." Oh, that should put a horror into your soul. Depart from me. Where? Oh, you think, well, surely there'll be somewhere even there I can make my case. Surely, as it were, I might not be as good and as holy and as great Christian as I, but I was not too bad. Surely there must be, as it were, a back door into heaven for me. Surely I can be there because my mother and my father, my brother, my sisters, my friends are there. Could I not get in there, my friend? No. What will you be saying there? Not that. You will be crying, as we read in Scripture, that the hills would fall on you, that the rocks would cover you, as you're standing there and God's holy eye will be piercing right into your very soul. What kind of eye is it? An eye of mercy? No. The day of mercy will have gone. An eye of judgment and condemnation. And you'll know that he knows everything about you. And that will cause you the greatest agony itself. You know, friends, when you think here tonight, even the person closest to you in this life, think about who it is. You wouldn't like them, would you, to know everything about you? It would be a horrendous thought, would it not? But on that day, everything will be exposed. And the thunderous voice of judgment you will hear and will ring in your ears, "Depart from me. Depart from me into the place for the devil and his angels." And there your every sin will be exposed that you had hidden so well from loved ones even around you in this world. And there you will see that the truth of what you have sown, that will you reap on that day, because God is not mocked. And you're living as you are now, but you're mocking God if you are going on without him. And in a sense, the picture we have there of horror, terrified, your knees, as it were, knocking. Your heart will pound as it were going to burst out of its chest with fear. You know, that can be at times when you're afraid, will be 1,000 times more, because it'll be real, not a dream, not a thought. It'll be real when you are faced with the God that you so long ignored, ignored his world, ignored his son, and a lost eternity will lie before you. And that judgment, friend, that is unavoidable, and the sentence, guilty. Guilty. Oh, but I'll appeal. No, you can't. There is no appeal there. The time to do right is here now, in this world, at this time. And so guilty will be pronounced. And what then will follow? Well, thirdly, a predictable end. A predictable end. You know, some people have a vague idea or a vague hope that God is too kind to punish the ungodly. And that, as A.W. Tozer said, has become a deadly opiate, a deadly drug for the conscience of millions of people. God is too kind. The picture so many, and sadly in so many churches, of God like a benevolent father figure, not like the judge that he is to those who are to be condemned. It's a predictable end. Now, you might be saying that, well, you don't know what's in my heart. How often I hear, and every other preacher hears that from people you go visiting, but you don't know what's in my heart. And I acknowledge I don't. But God does. And why do people hide what's in their heart? And they'll say, well, and you might be saying here tonight, but you don't know who's going to be saved. Let me say this to you, friend, I do. I can tell, looking around the congregation here tonight, every single person who's going to be in heaven and every single person who's going to be in hell. I can do that. And anyone can do that. How? Well, it's quite simple. Those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ will be saved. And those who do not will be damned. It's that simple. And you tonight, my dear friends, and I say this to you, and oh, don't take this as I'm being condemning and delighting to condemn. I hope you know well enough to know that's the opposite. It's a love for your souls. A love that you would, for you to come and love the Savior that I have, others have come to love. But don't leave it too late, because there's a predictable end if you die without Christ. It is predictable. It is sure. You know, many people get through this life and they sail, as it were, they sail through the seas of this life, and they never flounder, they never grounded in any way on any rock. Their voyage can be straightforward for them, with no great storms in it from beginning to end. That may be true for many, and many people are like that. But what about the day that you land, as it were, on the shore of the judgment day? Your life has been easy, maybe, or maybe some ripples on the water occasionally, but you manage to sail through and get on. But what about that day when the journey comes to its conclusion, when the end is there in front of you? And what will be waiting you there on that day? Oh, there'll be a welcoming party. There'll be others there. A welcoming party for you that will await. And who are they? Those who have kept their eye on you in your world, in your life here. And who will be that be for the ungodly? The devil and his angels. And they'll welcome you. And they'll say, come with us. But we won't do you any good. And they will be there awaiting to usher you into their own place. And where is that? Well, you know, into the depths of hell itself. And the devil will say, come, come, you most faithful of my followers. I've been watching you all these years, and you've been so faithful to me. I love the way you refuse to hear about the gospel. You refuse to hear about Christ, to accept the gospel. I love the way that you rejected these things. You did so many things in secret. You did so many things openly. You didn't care. Come with me now. Come, you most faithful. Enter into what? The agony and the torment of hell that I have prepared for you. Oh, come. And they say, I've kept the place for you. Your name is there now. You've got your own place in hell, in that damned place of darkness. That's the reality, friends. That's the reality, the predictable end of those who die without Christ. You see, there is nothing maybe, and there is nothing unpredictable about what awaits any who die Christless. Scripture makes clear, the Savior himself time and time again makes that clear. So don't fool yourself into thinking somehow or other it'll all work out in the end. You know, friends, there are so many like that. It'll all work out in the end. And you know what, friends, also, may I say this? That is also a warning to all of us here tonight, whatever we profess, not to take for granted in any way whatsoever our situation. Many of us today sat at the Lord's table. But as I think I said then, that will not save any of us. It is to be ready for that end to be in Christ. That end that is coming, and a predictable end for us all. And let me say again to you, and it doesn't matter, I repeat it, but it's got to be said, you cannot, you will not escape hell if you die without Christ. That is 100% predictable truth and fact. No one out of Christ will be in heaven. And being in Christ means faith in him in this world now. It's an acceptable time. Not when you get to the judgment seat. Not when you stand before the judge of all the earth. Again, quoting someone else, C.S. Lewis, who said that, so many, for them, the safest road to hell is the gradual one, the gentle slope, soft and easy underfoot, no sudden turnings, no signposts. That's the safest road to hell that so many are on. How true, I believe, that is, friends. But there's something else that's predictable as I close. Is what else we have here. There is this truth that there are some who look for him when he shall appear the second time without sin unto salvation. You know that there are those here tonight who are longing for that day. Longing for the day when they see, as we spoke in the morning, they see the Savior face to face and be like him. Can you say that? Well, of course, you see, I would like to think that. That's not what we're saying, friends. Here are those here, the idea here of looking is the idea of patiently waiting with eager expectation. I wonder, can you put your amen to that's me? Oh, I know some can, but I have a fear that some can't. And you are not able to say this for yourself. So then, friends, at the end of the day, are you prepared for this predictable, certain, unavoidable, inevitable judgment? Death awaits us all. But oh, what a difference between those who die in the Lord and those who are not. Between those in Christ and out of Christ. That really is what it's all about, is it not? And death is a preacher that is never silent and continues to speak. And death is the voice of God to you and I, to all of us, friends. It is God's voice to us. But the question is, when it comes, and when it comes to yourself, whenever it comes, wherever it comes, are we ready for God's holy judgment day? See, friends, this doctrine, this teaching is not mine or any other preacher's. It's the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Again, we have this picture of gentle Jesus, meek and mild. And he is, I know how we thank God that that's true, but it's not the full picture. And the Lord Jesus himself, he speaks about hell so often. He speaks about it with a language that should strike terror into our souls. He speaks about a place of weeping, a place of gnashing of teeth. He speaks of a place of outer darkness. He speaks about a place of a fire. He speaks about a place of where the worm dieth not, the worm of conscience will be gnawing and eating away you throughout eternity with an agony that you cannot even imagine now. You see, that's what we learn from Christ about this teaching. That's what we learn about eternal punishment. Can I say to you, I bring you this message this evening because I dislike you or hate anyone here? Well, God knows it is not so. And I hope you know that as well. There's nothing that I would love more, as I am here as your intermoderator for a time, than to see you all come into faith in Christ, casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. And he's willing to save to the uttermost. So please, friends, oh please, even for tonight, when you get home even, go on your knees, go up hard, lie in your bed, whatever, call upon the Lord. Seek mercy and forgiveness so that you will know then this great peace and be ready for this inevitable, predictable end that's going to come to us all. Can it happen for you? Of course it can. Oh, but I'm such a sinner. My friend, you are no greater sinner than some of us. Now often you ask some of the folk here who are believers, and they say to you, oh, well, if God had mercy on me, he will have mercy on anyone. And he will have mercy on anyone who put their faith and trust in him. But that has to be done here and now. It'll be too late on the judgment day. Friends, it is appointed unto men once to die. But, and notice the but, it's not just dying, but after this, the judgment. Let us pray. Oh, gracious God, how the reality that Paul may plant and Apollos water, but God gives the increase is before us. May it please thee, Lord God, to convict and convert from this congregation tonight, that some would even have come in without Christ, would not leave without him, and to know him whom to know is life eternal. And there would be joy in the presence of the angels of God tonight if some in this congregation would repent. Lord, be pleased to work by thy Spirit, but impress upon each and every one their own duty and responsibilities before God. Oh, that none of us would end up appearing before the solemn judgment seat of Christ, unprepared. In his name we pray it. Amen.